Fire season closed weeks ago on the Oregon side, not so in California, as you well know. Hundreds of thousands of people are affected by either fires or power outages or both, all the way up to Humboldt County. It's a tense situation now, but the summer of 2019 was not at all what a lot of people expected. The region braced for a repeat of the previous two summers, which featured large destructive fires and weeks on end of smoke hanging in the air, often up to unhealthy levels. Tourism took a hit in the smoky summers, and the industry braced for another one to be pleasantly surprised. How did the business adapt? Let's check in with some tourism leaders. In the studio with me is Catherine Cato, the travel director of, the director of Travel Ashland and a board member of Travel Southern Oregon. Catherine, good to have you here.
Good morning. Thanks for having me.
Lori Baker joins us as well. She's the CEO for Shasta Cascade Wonderland Association based in Redding. Lori, thank you for joining us by phone.
Thank you. I'm happy to be here.
Jim Chatterton is with us as well. He's the executive director of Discover Klamath Visitor and Convention Bureau, also board member of Travel Southern Oregon, as I'm told by Catherine. Thanks for joining us, Jim.
Good morning, and happy to be here.
Happy to have you here. So why don't we start with you, Jim? Give us an overview of what your region expected with tourist numbers and what really happened.
You know, we expected a repeat of the last two summers, which, as Lori and Catherine will share, all of us in the whole West Coast region experienced very tough tourism the last couple summers, the continuous days of smoke. And so we expected things to be down, and we didn't experience all of those fires and smoke this summer, which was tremendously a relief. I think some folks were perhaps holding back. Our statistics for lodging occupancy showed a little softness in the early spring, so things got off to a little slow start, but by July and August, our hotel-motel occupancy numbers jumped right back up to prior levels. So we sort of closed out the summer on a very strong note.
So the summer ended up about where it would have in any other non-smoky summer?
I think so. For us, it did. One of the big measures is we're here near Crater Lake National Park, and there's a big bike ride up there that all of us with Travel Southern Oregon work to support, and it brings in visitors and cyclists from all over. And we had been running pre-smoke years in the 4,500 to 5,000 cyclists, and this isn't a local event. I mean, locals do come out, but it does draw thousands of very active cyclists up to Crater Lake National Park, and the park's actually sort of closed to vehicular traffic, which makes it a really neat event. But during the smoke years, 17 and 18, we saw the big fall off in the numbers to that event, down to about 3,000. So not quite 50% down, but a good 35-40% down. This year, the numbers popped right back up, which was really wonderful. And we know that people are sitting on the sidelines because we had 4,200 people show up from 38 states and 8 countries. But the interesting stat that we learned was that about 1,200 of those folks were day of registration. So they did, they weren't pre-registered, which kind of suggested to us people were kind of waiting and seeing whether the smoke and the fires would be disruptive.
So, Catherine Cato, let's bring you in and talk about what you expected and what you got in Ashland this summer.
Sure. Good morning. We did start to see a market shift that folks, instead of planning like they have historically to come in that sweet spot of summer, July and August, they shifted more towards, we saw a pulse in May and June, and even July. We were really up for a very strong year. I think also what you have here is less predictability, more last-minute travel. That's a trend happening around the world. And as Jim said, it's a West Coast element. People are really hypersensitive to traveling and gaining all the information they can. So they are going to make those last-minute decisions, which creates less predictability. We saw Some folks down in August, some are flat. Flat to a year that was smoky last year to clear skies this year. So what there was almost more of a perception of smoke rather than a reality of smoke. So we did see folks holding back. I think the one positive thing to draw out of this is that the growth of our outdoor industry and the growth of our wine industry are attracting that outdoor adventure traveler and that culinary traveler. Those who, in Ashland, at least a third of our visitor base of approximately 350,000 do attend plays at the Oregon Shakespeare Festival. And without those outdoor plays, some who were directly catering to that OSF playgoer felt that effect a little bit more. Those who are diversifying their audience did see a little bit more variance in that. It's still yet to be seen, though. You almost have to look back 2 or 3 years. We weren't really affected greatly by the eclipse in 2017, but you have to look back a couple years to really gain that stride. But the formula of summer being our busiest season is changing a little bit, where we're really growing in the fall and the spring.
Okay, the shoulder season is gaining in importance then over time. Lori Baker at Shasta Cascade Wonderland, tell us about what you expected and what you got over the summer.
Well, sure. What I will say is we're in Northern California, or we call ourselves Upstate California, and even though we're California, we're different. We're probably closer to behaviors, travel behaviors of Southern Oregon than the rest of California. So that's why I want to say we're right in line with everyone else in Southern California, what they're seeing, just a little twist different. We started the spring and beginning of summer off very well. We're real lucky in that sense that we had high occupancy. I think marketing, we worked really hard at getting out and getting video and photography to show people what it looks like right now and started pushing that out. And so our occupancy really didn't start to get soft again until September, but it's still up compared to the year before. If you skip last year, it was an anomaly for us. And so if you skip last year and you look at the year before, we're still up. So I think, and for us, our clear skies are doing great. People are still coming. But I'm going to agree that travel is now more last-minute decisions.
Okay.
And so I think that just makes it all more important that we can't just hope that people know about us and will come. We have to be constantly telling people that's what we've turned into as a communication organization, all of us. I think Southern Oregon's the same way, is that we're telling everybody, this is what looks like right now. This is what you can expect right now. If there's anything going on, we're getting much better at just giving information so people know what to expect. And so last-minute travel, we are adjusting to that behavior of the visitor so we can give them what they need and they can make their decisions and end up being a happy customer when they land where it is they want to visit so they can make those decisions.
All right, we'll get into how you constantly tell people in just a few minutes. We're talking about tourism over the course of the last summer, which was expected to be smoky and mostly was not. Lori Baker's with the Shasta Cascade Wonderland Association. She's the CEO based in Redding. Catherine Cato's in the studio. She's the Travel Ashland Director and a board member of Travel Southern Oregon. Jim Chatterton is the Discover Klamath Visitor and Convention Bureau Executive Director, also a board member of Travel Southern Oregon. You can join the conversation on the exchange. Questions, comments, welcome at 800-838-3760 by phone, by email, jx@jeffnet.org. We're just giggling here because the lights go out when we don't move ourselves physically very much. And Catherine's one of the first guests to experience that. So, Catherine, there are certainly some unique challenges and issues for Ashland because you have that one big top draw with the Shakespeare Festival. You gave us a little bit of information about this already, that the people most tied to the festival seem to have some impacts. Now, the festival changed what it does with its outdoor theater, which had a big impact, I would think.
Certainly, the outdoor theater is a draw we hear from many visitors. OSF has planned next year in 2020 to return back to the Allen Elizabethan Theater, which is indeed a positive. I think what we're looking at is we are such a seasonal draw, and that seasonality drives a different type of visitor, whether it's the cultural visitor or the culinary one. As Lori was saying, we're really trying to get out and tell those stories of what puts Ashland on the map beyond our cornerstone of culture. So our amazing chefs, the flavors, the talent, the farms, our growing season here, but also the wines. We just hosted a group of wine travel writers, and we enabled them to experience harvest here with the wineries and the colors. the flavors. And so diversifying our stories and our pitch and real time and getting out in front of those folks, you have to sort of be everywhere in terms of reaching those folks. And also diversifying the age of our visitor, the behavior of them, and also our geographical markets of where we pull from.
Is there much crossover? I mean, we have people come for Shakespeare and go rafting, or come for Shakespeare, go rafting, go to a winery, you know, some combination of those. Is there some overlap, a lot of overlap?
Yes, I do think that. And therein lies the fact that we are, I feel grateful that Ashland is indeed a destination. It's a destination, and you have the culture, you have the hospitality, you have over 100 restaurants that are really driven by the visitor base. And so that's really Travel Ashland's role, is to promote and amplify Ashland as that unique destination. So yes, we've had people just coming for OSF and discovering wine or discovering the outdoors. We're actually seeing folks coming for our wines and saying, wow, I didn't know you had a Shakespeare festival here. And it is beyond Shakespeare too.
Laurie Baker, I want to ask you about some specific issues to Reading. Where, you know, we had smoke as an issue for a lot of the other communities. You had an actual fire, the car fire in Reading in 2018, that destroyed homes and buildings in town. And I wonder how much that ratchets up visitor concern, how much people ask about it, and how you address it.
Yeah, well, we had all those concerns, everything you just listed. So once we got through the fire and things settled, the air cleared, and we then had the... it's funny, it's sad that everybody went through so much and they were devastated, but by now it's a year later and everybody's who was displaced, they found a place to be, whether that's still rebuilding or with family or they've decided to relocate. But a lot of people came into town to help the rebuilding process, and they're visitors too. So it's been fun to talk to them and have them not realize what our area looks like and what it's like and how much fun it is and how all there is to do with outdoor recreation and how the climate is helps you to enjoy the outdoors all year long. It's just amazing how many people still don't know we live here because it's fabulous, but they don't realize that. So this year, first we had our hoteliers. They were wonderful to the visitors. They call them ahead of time and say, hey, you may not want to come right now. We'll refund your money, whatever it takes, because we have people displaced. And then the next wave that came in were the workers. And then now I think we're down to true visitors, and they're still coming back because all of Shasta Cascade, only about 1.7% of it burned. So we hit it was devastating for what it did, but there's still so much land to enjoy. And I think people realize that, and having extra people up here because of the tragedy helped amplify that message besides the marketing. So we're doing okay. We're doing okay.
Jim Chatterton had to leave us early. I think that's what the dial tone was that we heard. Didn't realize he had to take off ahead of the end of the interview. So let me stick with you for a second, Laurie, because you've got the additional issue now where even though you don't have fires that are directly impacting the Reading area, and you can make the case that not a lot of land burned in your part of California this year, but then you got the power shutoffs to deal with. And we get notifications every day, or what seems like every day, every week, let's put it that way, over the last few weeks, about school districts that can't open because they don't have electric power. Is this a message you're also developing a response to?
Well, yeah. In fact, everybody in California that's affected by the shutoffs, the power shutoffs, really, it's a different subject from the fires. So there's fires in Southern California, and our poor friends in Sonoma and what they're going through, our heart goes out to them. But the power shutoffs have really nothing to do with the fires as much as just a prevention, and it does affect the schools. But visitors, if they're coming for outdoor recreation, it's not affecting them much. Most of the hotels have generators that are able to function, the restaurants, everyone's able to help the visitors. So the news that you're hearing does affect the schools, but I think what you're going to see is probably wind days, just like we have snow days.
Interesting. That's a different situation that we're adjusting to. And I'm looking out the window past Catherine's shoulder and seeing the wind picking up on Ashland at the same time. So we were talking about ways in which you craft a different message. And so let's come back to you, Catherine, and talk about how you reach out to people. I mean, this is not really the age of pamphlets anymore. We got websites and smartphones and all that stuff. So how do you push the message out to the world that things are good in the region that you're trying to get people to come visit, and you've got pictures to show it?
We do. We're constantly refreshing our imagery and our footage to share those Ashland moments. And Travel Ashland's role really is to inspire people to travel here, just like Travel Oregon, Travel Southern Oregon. As a visitor bureau, we are inspiring people to consider coming to Ashland, and then that is why we help tell the stories of all our partners who sell the room, sell the wine, sell the meal. But also as a chamber of commerce, you know, we're here as a foundation to help support our businesses, and we're always having an ongoing dialogue to really help help support them. So smokewiseashland.com, that's really a resource we've created also for our businesses. That said, we're nimble as Travel Ashland, and therefore we are really planning for next year to say, just as we did this year, to really push and influence spring and summer travel and ideas of what that means in our region. So using Ashland as a jumping off point, as a base camp for exploring Crater Lake, our proximity to our national park. We certainly share a variance of visitors, but Ashland draws a different profile of a visitor, just as Medford does, just as, you know, Jacksonville, but we certainly share them all. I think it's really telling those stories, and really there's an importance of really telling that story of the summertime, which we haven't necessarily had to do in the past, but meanwhile we're responsible for amplifying each season, where January, February, March might be the lowest occupancy. So that's why we have Ashland Culinary Month. We've developed things. So summertime has, there's an opportunity in summertime to really create a draw, maybe more events, more ongoing elements to so folks can envision themselves here to enjoy it.
Lori, summer, it seems like when people are most likely to visit Shasta Cascade, but Catherine did mention earlier working a little more on the spring and fall, you know, the shoulder seasons, and is that a place where you're putting some emphasis as well?
Yeah, we've always put emphasis on those shoulder seasons because they're so beautiful. But summer's when kids are out of school. We have so, like you said, we have so much water, and kids are out of school, and that's just easy to come here for summer. That's why it's our peak season, but we've invested so much into our mountain biking trails. So we have hiking, mountain biking, and some paved trails, so you don't have to worry about cars at all. And so that's the message that we've been putting out, and it's amazing how many people are discovering that and enjoying it. Our dirt is, from what I hear, because I'm not a mountain biker, very scary for me to think of doing that. Thinking I really want to stay out of the hospital. But I talked to the mountain bikers, and they're telling us that the dirt is just fabulous for a longer period of time in our trails, and that's where it's getting out. And there's always good. When something bad happens, there's usually some silver lining you can find. And now with our mountain biking trails, you can see around those corners. They used to be so beautiful and green, but some of those trails that burned, now these guys are just enjoying flying through the trails because they can see what's around the corner.
Wow, you're really emphasizing the positive here, aren't you?
Yeah.
So you mentioned a lot of water. How big a draw is Shasta Lake and the whole houseboat scene that goes on there?
It's a big draw. It is. In fact, this last year was a real good year for our houseboaters. They were very happy. They struggle. They struggle when there's drought, and they struggle when there's smoke. And so this year was a very good year for them, and they're real happy about that. But Shasta Lake is a big draw. You see people out there, whether if they're houseboating, our houseboats are full, but they're also staying at other properties, either friends, family, or in lodging properties and getting out on boats. And because the lake is so large that you really don't have heavy traffic of boats. You can find a place to get out and enjoy and not have people right on top of you, whether you're fishing or boating.
This is the Jefferson Exchange. We're discussing tourism in the recent non-smoky summer that was expected widely in the tourism business. Lori Baker's with Shasta Cascade Wonderland Association. She's the CEO. Catherine Cato is the director of Travel Ashland and a board member at Travel Southern Oregon. We were talking to Jim Chatterton from Discover Klamath earlier about Crater Lake and how big a deal it is for Klamath County. It is the major feature they list on their website. But then people are going to come, a lot of them off of Interstate 5, so I think Ashland would get some benefit of that too.
We do. There's a pathway, I think, by 97, folks coming down, they feel they experience Southern Oregon by dipping down into Crater Lake and going back up, right? Mm-hmm. But it's really, I think we have an opportunity to attract more folks from Crater Lake. I know they had shared some statistics that they were up in August, which is very positive. I think they have about 750,000 folks a year, many international travelers. So I think I would say Klamath Falls sees more of them than ours. Just circling back to the cycling element of mm-hmm. Ride the Rim, you've got the Road Riders, we've got our Cascade Siskiyou scenic bikeway. That's the one in Southern Oregon that we've worked on. Also, the mountain biking is really growing. I know they're a growing facet, and we share that mountain biker from Northern California to Southern Oregon through events, and just they have expendable income. They're bringing their families, and a shout out to Rogue Valley Mountain Bike Association, really doing great work here in Southern Oregon to create more of a draw, tangible elements for them.
Let's talk in the 2 minutes we have left about who you talk to outside your business. What kinds of things do you say to political figures and or land managers about the prospect for more fires and smoke in the future? Lori Baker?
That's a tough question, because I can't say we've really concentrated on that aspect a whole lot. But communication is most everybody, you talk to anybody in Catherine's position or mine, and on our Facebook page or websites or whatever, we're giving far more information, and I think that helps landowners, it helps the politicians. They're also doing just, there's so much more information, more websites, more Facebook postings that tell people, you know, what's open, what isn't. And I think that all of us are just changing, and we're all partnering together to get that information out. So rather than us telling them, I think we're all working well together to each of us doing our own piece of the information giving so that anybody can pretty much find what they need.
Catherine, any feedback to political figures, land managers about, you know, if this keeps up, we're gonna have some bad years?
Well, we do try to reside in the solution-oriented element. I think transparency is super important. We have our legislative hotline. We're an educationally-based chamber, but we are in constant communication through the legislative hotline that we have with our chamber. You know, our Smokewise Ashland plan that we did with our fire prevention task force. We also had a regional meeting, so a unified message, not only for the visitor, which is a certain type of message, but also for our businesses, and to support each other through it is really important for employees and business owners. That's where we're looking towards, to create that foundation for the future.
Better for the people who live here in addition to the people who visit here.
And growing your partnerships, not in crisis when there's an issue, but prior to that, so you have strength going through something together.
Okay, one final quick question for each of you. The vast majority of the visitors to Ashland by car?
We are primarily a drive market, yes.
Mm-hmm. And Lori, same thing for you in Reading, I presume?
Same thing.
Okay. All right. Well, thank you so much for joining us today to talk about what's been going on in tourism. It's been an interesting year because we all girded for a big smoky summer, didn't get one, but they could indeed be back. Lori Baker is the CEO at Shasta Cascade Wonderland Association. Lori, thank you.
Thank you.
Catherine Cato is the director at Travel Ashland and a board member of Travel Southern Oregon. Thank you so much, Catherine, for being here.
Pleasure. Thanks for having us.